We are recording. And if you remember where we were talking about Shmuel Bet Perchav Aleph, but the famine in the days of David. Vahira Abi made David Shoshanim. There was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, Shana Chare Shana, 1 year after another. It doesn't say when it was, some point. Assuming it was early, and we'll talk about why, early in David's rule. In the case of Yitzhak Hashem, and David asked God, what's going on? And then a paragraph break, because it took 3 years to figure this out, to get to this point. Hashem said, look at Shaul, look and go to Shaul, go to the Beit HaDamim, the house of blood, because he killed the Givonim. He talked about the fact that we don't know where any point where Shaul kills any Givonim. The Givonim were the natives of Canaan, who basically fooled Yeshua, said they were from far away. They signed a treaty, made an oath to not harm them. And so they lived among B'nai Israel as the Chotvei Itzim, Shobei Mayim, hewers of wood and drawers of water, working for the Mishkan. And the question of what happened in those 3 years is, there's a drought going on for 3 years straight. This is Tanakh, so obviously this is something to do with God looking at them and punishing them for something. So the Gemara says, there was a famine for 3 years, 1 year after the next. The first year David looks at what's going on, says, maybe there's avodah zarah going on. That's what the punishment for, because we know the Torah says that in Shema, serve other gods, guys will be stopped up and we know rain. Bad kuvla matzo, they looked, didn't find it. Didn't find any problems with Avodah Zarah nation. Yeah, second year came, there's still a drought, no rain. Amalahem said, David looks at the nation and says, Shema over Averi Yishbachem. Maybe there's a Yul Araya, that's what Averi here means. That's the problem, and Yirmiyahu makes that point. The maneuver being Malkush Lo Haya, that the early rains stopped. There was no the late rains. Umetach he says now because of the stubbornness of a wanton woman. No, but Kula Matso, that wasn't the problem. They didn't see a problem in the nation as a whole with these kinds of sins. The Sheik, the third year, Amar Lahem Shema Poskit Zakah Rabim Yishbachem. Maybe they're those who promise Zakah, who talk a good game. They don't need, but they don't give anything. There's a Mishle, Nesim Beruach, Geshem Ayin. There are no clouds, there's no wind, there's no rain. Ish Metalel, but Matla Sheker, because people are praising themselves. They're boasting about gifts of lies. They're boasting about their gifts, but they're not giving. There's a problem with Tzedakah. That'll be enough that God would stop the rain. But Kublo Matzel. They looked at it, and that wasn't the problem. Didn't see anybody else with a problem. So Amar, David says, "Ain't the bar tovoli elabi." David says, "It must be something about me. There must be something there that I need to find out." And that's when he gets the answer about the Givonim. What does it do with the famine? How do we put these together? And there are some Eibshitz, is in the 1700s, who's mostly famous for being accused of being a Sabbatean by Yaakov Emden. Big fight between them. He was the rabbi of Vilna? I think it was Poland. But he has some very powerful drush show. It's a collection of his sermons from Yom Narayim. And he connected to two other midrashim. First one is the Yalkut Shimoni. And this is the one that Janet mentioned last time. Nemar, there's a pasuk in Divrei Yamin. And David is telling Shlomo, here, I prepared to build the Beit Midrash, but I couldn't do it. Here's all the stuff. He says, look, in my poverty, I set aside the house of God, the hub, kikarim mea elef, 100,000 talents of silver. The kikar is estimated about 3 kilograms. That's 300,000 kilos of gold. That's a lot of gold, et cetera, with silver and bronze, everything else. And wait a minute, what is he saying? In my poverty, Can a poor person set aside 300,000 kilos of gold? Ella, what does he mean by in my poverty? Ella, Bayom Shaharag David at Goliath. I would translate it not on the day, but from the day that David killed Goliath. That the people gave him this money. He collected a lot of all this money, all this gold, all this silver. And he set it aside for the Beit HaMikdash. But when this drought, this famine for 3 years happened, people of Israel said, we have nothing to eat. Give us some money. We'll import it from Egypt or wherever else. Like, having gold is a good thing. We can buy food. Just give it, you know, open up your storehouses. And David did not want to give them anything. Right? He's an ani. I don't have it. It's not mine. It's all set aside for the Beit HaMikdash. Amar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, you're not taking on responsibility to let these people live by your life. You will not build the Beit HaMikdash. Your son will build the Beit HaMikdash. You will not be able to build the Beit HaMikdash. It's a very different answer than the one he got when he first asked to Natan, who says, well, you don't have a dynasty. We'll talk about that. Two independent reasons why David can't build the Beit HaMikdash. What happened there?
What about the blood on his hand?
And Leah brings up the question of the blood on his hand. Same speech, we talked about it in my oni, my poverty. He says, well, Hashem told me I have blood on my hand. So we're going to talk about that. That's connected to this one. Thank you. The other agadah that I just brings up is the Gemara in Bracha. Everyone knows this one. This is the Inor David hanging and blowing at midnight. And Leah's going to sing the Zekinor David, Biyah David HaMelech, Hapar. You know the song, right? Okay, Amrav Achabar Bizna, Amrav Shimon Chasida. Inor Hayat Talui Lamala Mimititosha David. There was a harp hanging above David's bed. Given Shigiyah Chotatalila, and at midnight, Bar Ruach Tatanit, the north wind would blow, and a Shevapo, and again, Me'alav. And the wind would play over the harp, and it would make music. And immediately he would get up and start learning Torah. But David was probably writing all of his Tehillim. Ad she'alah murashachar, until dawn. From midnight and dawn, he'd be learning Torah. Everyone knows that part. Second paragraph, a little less familiar. Kevin she'alah murashachar, at dawn, when everybody else woke up, nikhnasu chachmei Yisrael itzlo. The sages of Israel would come to David. Amru lahem, they would say to him, Adonai HaMelech, O King, Amcha Yisrael tzrichim parnasa. Your people need to be supported. Amar lahem, so David says to them, L'chu parnasu zeh mizeh. Goes, everyone should support each other, everybody else. Right? And if someone needs something, the rich people should give it to the poor people. Amar lo, so they said back to him, the economy is suffering terribly. Nobody's got anything. In a komet must be a tari. A handful will not satisfy a lion. You can't fill a pit with a little bit of sand that's already in it. It's not enough. Amar lahem, so David says, what do you do if you don't have enough? If you don't have enough resources, you steal it from other people. Right? Amar lahem, l'chu pashtu l'chem begedud. Go send out the army. So they got their advice from Achitofel. Achitofel was the advisor who planned their military strategies, the one who would eventually betray David and go with Avshalom. They'd ask permission from Sanhedrin to go to war. They would go to war. That's how he survived for these 3 years of drought. They could fight. And I just looked at this last medrash and say, okay, there's a point in time where every morning, this is Kevan Sheg Allah Amura Shachar. Every morning, Chachmei Yisrael would come to him and say, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa. And he would say, okay, you can go fight to get it. Go out to war, plunder the other nations. Don't ask me for money. Really, the point in time must have been a time of famine. during this drought here, and the only one we know about in Tanakh is this 3 years. So you see, these two stories must be connected. So this is the way the Yaros Devash, Yaros Ayvshitz, looks at these all these things together. Inyana Davar. Yadua Mashar Katru Chazal. The idea is that we know what Chazal said, Kisha'alam Rashachar, that as soon as when it was dawn, Nitzlesu Chachmi Yisrael David, and the sages of Israel would come to David and say, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa. They need to be supported. He said, Amar Peshtu Yechem B'Gedud. Go out and put together an army camp. Yisrael, we need to understand. Mabit Shumi David Bazet. What were they asking of David when they said, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa? What are they asking for from David when they're coming and saying, okay, people need to support? Well, Kavar Mubarak Midrash, we already know the other Midrash, which says, that then David says, I in my poverty set aside 100,000 coins of silver, of gold rather, and can a poor person have that much money? Goliath, etc., when he killed Goliath, and from then he had all this kind of the Zahav. He set it aside, he's going to build the Beit Midrash. That's his one thing. Achat sha'alfi met Hashem, aniyim. And when there was a famine, he didn't open up his storehouses. He wasn't supporting the poor. That's why Hashem got angry and said, Tovat zakami binyan Beit Midrash. That is more important than building the Beit Midrash. David, you're wrong. Okay, it's good. You mean well. You're not doing it for your own aggrandizement. You're not trying to build this empire for you. You want to make Midrash wonderful, but people need stuff and you need to support them. Therefore, you are not going to build the Beit Midrash. You're the wrong person to do. Benira. It seems that Chachmei Yisrael came shebakshu sheiten la'aniyim mekesav zavahu. So that this Chachmei Yisrael who said, Amcha tzrichim parnasa, are the same ones who said, you need to open up your storehouses of gold and support the people. Right? They need to be supported. You need to open it and give. And he refused to do this and said, okay, you guys go out to fight. So therefore, all these wars, all these machamot reshut, they're not for self-defense. They're not milchamot mitzvah. These wars didn't have to happen. Were done in order just to get money for the country, just in order to pay for the welfare of the poor. I said David yachol itaken that David could have solved it all by giving the gold that he had set aside for the Beit Hamikdash. The zel perisha pasuk, and that's what the pasuk means that Leah just quoted of damim harbe shafachta. You spilt all this blood. Ilachamta milchamot reshut, because you fought all these wars that you are allowed to fight, but they were not necessary.
Voluntary,
right? Well, you could read reshut as voluntary. You could always read it as milchamot reshut, meaning of the government. I think it's a better way to read. You know, this whole halachot of milchamot reshut are ones. It's done by the king or by the government, without necessarily being a mitzvah to there.
Voluntary in the sense that they weren't commanded by God.
Right. I mean, that's the key thing there. That there's a milchamot mitzvah and there's milchamot reshut. And these are all milchamot reshut. You could have supported everyone. You had enough money stored away that you could have supported everyone during these years of famine. But come to b'shalcha, and you held on. You grabbed what was yours. It's tzedakah that would have been for tzedakah. Then the poor are left stooped over in their hunger. Out of Oryam and Mochaman. So yeah, fine. They came back to the war. They were successful. They got money. They plundered other nations. Great. But they're still suffering. Therefore, you will not build this house. Hashem would rather have the tzedakah. building the Beit Hashem. Kaka Marti Derech Halatza, and I would kind of rhetorically at the cute Devar Torah see the Psukim that talks about the bracha in the Chukotai. Says Bachatem Lachmachem Asova, you will eat bread in plenty, V'yashabtem Levetach Ba'artachem, and you will live securely in your land, attach them Ba'art, and there will be peace in the land. Goes in that order. V'yasher Loya La'am Yisrael Parnasa, Parshu Lehem B'gedu, because when you're not the state of Achalkem Lachmachem Asova, you don't have enough food to eat, then we end up with violence, with these wars happening. That's why it says you will eat. You, the bracha is you will have enough bread to eat and be satisfied. So yachsa lachnachem, because then you will not be lacking for food. There'll be no need for war. And there'll be peace in the land. That was his Rosh Hashanah drush. It's more important than building the Beit Hamikdash. And getting that priority wrong fundamentally doubles downfall in this story here. So I just said the drought of our Perek, the 3 years, is contemporary with these Milchamot Rashut, which are described in Perechet. Perechet is Shmuel Bet, when he goes to war, attacks the Plishtim, attacks Moab, attacks Aram, conquers what's called Syria, the north. Huge victories, lots of money. That's great. Tax Edom. And that fits in what we say, because if you remember in our story, the next thing that happened as when the first thing that David does when he gets the message, okay, he's on the Givonim. He goes out and he has pity on Mephibosheth, the son of Yonatan. Achmol Melcha with Mephibosheth, Ben Yonatan, Ben Shaul. He tries to save Mephibosheth. Because of the oath that was between them, between David and Yonatan. David had sworn to Yonatan that he would protect Yonatan's descendants, so he does that. And that's just mentioned as a one sentence in passing in our parak. But again, after Parakhet, talks about the wars, is an entire parak of Parakhet, which is the story of David protecting Mephibosheth. Not clear there. What he's being protected from. Here in our story, it's clear he's being protected from being given over to Gibonim. Ted is a story of there were Melch Eves Old Ishba Beit Shaul Vesayim Mochetzed Elokim. Is there anyone left in the house of God that I can do Chesed to? And Mephibosheth, he saves Mephibosheth. So in terms of the timing, I would put this Ra'av Shoshanim in this time before the affair of Bathsheba. David is engaged in expanding his empire. He's not focused on his own glory. It's all for Kod Hashem. It's all the Shem Shamayim. He's playing the Beit Midash, but he's not thinking about the people. Okay? And so what the Gemara describes, he's seeking the spiritual causes for this drought. Starts at, well, it's not about Azara. It's not a riot. It's a matter of tzedakah. Okay? It's a matter of not giving tzedakah. And look, it's not the problem of the people. It's about totally LB. It's me. Problems with me. Then Hashem gives him the answer, finally, look at El Sha'ul Beit HaDimim Asher Mita the Givonim, which doesn't have anything to do with anything we just said. What's with the Givonim? What's the deal with the Amcha Trichim of Parnasa? The nice Bar Torah doesn't seem to connect at all to the Givonim. So we have to figure out what's going on with the Givonim. And that's this. Let's go throw this to the next one. We got a little bit of time. Yes, there we go. And so what happens with these Givonim? We have a famine. We assume it's connected with this whole Kesef Zahav, Yikdishu Beit HaMikdash, Bara'av, Shoshanim, Bikshu Mene Yisrael, Yitain Lord, Shal Yitain Lahem. We have a couple of questions about the Givonim. What did Shaul do to the Givonim? Sure, he met the Givonim, killed them. We don't see that. And then bigger question is, Why is the Ra'av happening during David? Because it makes that point. The Ra'av made David. If it's Shaul's problem, it should be in the time of Shaul. The third question is, why is the Ra'av for all of Israel? Why not just punish Shaul for this? And then how do we connect it back to our Parnassah and the people not being supported? Look at the Pesukim. Back in our parak. Whoever gets the message, this is Al Shehemitah Zagibonim. That's why this famine is happening. They cry Melchu Givonim. So the king goes and calls the Givonim, representatives of the Givonim. Vayomer Alayhem says to them, talks to them. A little aside, the Givonim lo b'nei Yisrael hema, and the Givonim were not Jewish. They were not part of b'nei Yisrael. Kimi yeter ha'emori. They were the last of the Emori, which is not the nations of Canaan. They had lived there before the Jews came in the time of Yeshua. Bnei Israel nishbulahem. Bnei Israel had sworn to protect them, to not kick them out, to not hurt them. But the case Shaul hakotam. But Shaul had tried to attack them. The kino levnei Israel v'yuda is jealousy. Bnei Israel and Yehuda. Again, kind of making the point that these really are two different nations. They never really united, Israel and Yehuda. So David is talking to them. We have this little aside about that they're not from Bnei Israel, they're Emori. David tells Gibbonim, what can I do to you? What can I do for you? How can I get atonement? But you will bless the inheritance of God. We clearly need you to pray to Hashem to forgive us, to get us to end this drought. And they said, we don't want gold or silver. We don't want money from Shaul and his household. We don't want to kill anybody. So David says, Matem Amrim Eselachem. So what are you saying? What can we do? How can I make this up to you? Again, we haven't figured out what the crime in the first place is. David knows that. But what can we do? Ramuam Elamelech Aisha Sher Kilanu Vasher de Malanu. So they said to the king, to David, that man, talking about Shaul, who destroyed us, silenced us, Manu. And wipe this out, preventing us from dwelling anywhere in the boundaries of Israel. What about this? Give us seven of his descendants. And we will hang them on the hill of Shaul, who is the chosen one of God. And I would assume that was a sarcastic comment. All right, so we're going to go back to Shaul's hometown, and we're going to hang seven of his descendants. And then there's a paragraph break in the middle of the pasuk. Right? David's aware of the problem, right? This is a trolley problem. We talked about the trolley problem last time.
So where are they taking these people to be hung? In Givat Shaul?
In Givat Shaul. They want to go to Givat Shaul.
Okay.
There's a city now, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a place in Israel called Givat Shaul.
Yeah, the problem is there's several places like that.
Well, surely at that point,
the Givat Shaul in Yerushalayim is not this Givat Shaul.
I think so. It's got to be in Binyamin somewhere, right? Givat Shaul was Shaul's capital when he was king.
I just think, according to Rabbi Shulman of Givat Shaul that they're talking about here, was sort of like near French Hill, or where Hebrew U is in Hearts of Theme, or somewhere like North Jerusalem.
Okay, I don't know if you think it's close to Jerusalem.
That's not so far. I mean, you know, I could walk from, when I was a student, I could walk from
I don't know if it was that,
to Jerusalem.
I don't know if it was that, I don't get the sense it was that close to Jerusalem. It was definitely north of Jerusalem, so it was a Binyamin somewhere.
Oh, you're not sure it was that close. Okay, well, I really have no idea.
Right, but it was the capital of Shaul when Shaul was king. That's Givat Shaul. And then there's this pause. King says, I'll give him. Does it. right? Is he going to, so he has to think about it. Does he sacrifice these 70? They're innocent men, right? These are all descendants of Shaul. Shaul did whatever he did, and somehow we're going to give these descendants of Shaul over to the Givonim. And that sounds like what Hashem wants, right? Hashem says, there's a famine. It's happening because of the Givonim. You need to ask for forgiveness to the Givonim. And the Givonim say, we want these 7. Does he do it?
He does.
But is that right? Is it wrong? What do we do? What do we do with that? Like, this is not just a story told to tell the story. This is a Sefer Nevuah. We're supposed to learn something here. And I would give David the benefit of the doubt, right? Give him say explicitly, here we go, right? Ein lo isla mipi Yisrael, right? We don't want to kill anybody. We know how the story, yeah, they're lying. Maybe David can say, okay, or be in denial in his own mind, that they're not going to kill anybody, they're going to humiliate them. Hokna'um means to hang, but it doesn't necessarily mean to kill. Maybe they just put him in stocks and humiliate them in front of everybody. Maybe. Like that word of hoka, meaning hanging, occurs one other time in Tanakh. Usually it means to displace. Like the Gid HaNasheh, did I quote that here? Yeah, here we go. By Yigah B'chaf Yirecho, by Yaakov. It means to displace. Here it means to hang, and the other example is by the sin of Baal Peor, the end of Parsha Balak. And to make Yisrael Baal Peor, and then Yisrael got all involved with the Avodah Zarah Baal Peor, by Yechaf, after Hashem Yisrael, and Hashem was angry with Yisrael. By Abraham, Hashem Moshe, Hashem told Moshe, Kaka Kol Roshei Am, go take all the leaders of the people, go ka'otam, and go hang those, the guilty ones, not the leaders. Go ka'otam la'ashem negedar shemesh. Go hang them out in full daylight. Yeshua chorin af Hashem Yisrael. God's anger will be taken from Israel if you punish those who are guilty. We'll write the middle of Alpha R. And it's a similar thing, right? We have the same Vayechara, Hashem Yisrael. Hashem is angry with Israel, and someone is going to be hanged publicly to assuage God's anger. But there, the Hoka'otam is not the killing them, okay? That's the hanging part. You know, they're put to death by stoning, and just their bodies are displayed. And this Kabbalah points out, you could translate Hoka in different ways, that Yonatan translates Hoka as Salib. I'm on the word for crucify, right? Literally, to just put them up on display. Unkel is Tigrem Katol, but Unkel is translated as killing there. So it's not clear what it means over there, not clear what it means over here. So I'm going to give David the benefit of the doubt. He wasn't really sure that they were going to do that. Maybe David told himself, they're not going to kill anyone. That's denial. I think thinking about what's going on, it's clear that this is not going to be something good. And David surely feels that way because he's trying to save the people of Shet, and he wants to know what's going on. Now I'm going to go back and try to figure out what the Givonim wanted revenge for. What did Shaul do? The Givonim brought grudge for a generation. So Yerushalmi says they were literally killed. Givonim, remember, are the servants in the Mishkan. And Shaul wiped out Nob, which was the city of the Mishkan. Yerushalmi assumes that's when the Givonim were killed.
Oh, it's part of him killing all the Kohanim there, you mean?
Right. It's part of the Kohanim. He kills the Kohanim. He kills everybody in Nob. And the Givonim were living there because they were the Chotz Ve'etzim and Shoevi Mayim on David is Bach Hashem, as it says. That was kind of their role. They were all, the community was all there in Nov, and David and Shaul wiped however many of them out. And that's what they're revenge for. So this is Yerushalmi saying to them, Shlach David B'Karan. David sends messengers to Givonim and ask them, Amar lahem malachem will beit Shaul, what is your deal with Shaul? What was going on? Amru lo. He says, because the Isakarbanei.com commenting on Yerushalmi says, Shlo yada shemutu Givonim, that David had no idea what had happened. Right? David was on the run at the time of when Nob was wiped out. heard about it afterwards. So they tell him, because he killed 7 givonim. Wasn't a huge number. The sofer and a secretary, Chazan and a shamash. 7 of our community were killed when Shaul wiped out Nob. Amar Lan, so David said to them, Matan Ba'avon, so what can I give to make this up? Amar Le, so they said to him, Yitain Lenu Shivan Hashem. That's why they said 7 of Shaul's descendants. Physically 7, we're going to get revenge for those 7 who were killed. That's when the Pasuk says, he does this Bekinato Levnei Yisrael B'Yudah. I wouldn't read it as, he was zealous for Israel and Yehuda, but he was jealous about them, right? He wants to be king. He's jealous. He's jealous of David. He wiped out Nov, killed some of the Yivanim who were there. Still doesn't explain what's going on, that Shaul himself is not punished for that. We have a list of things that Shaul was punished for killing the Kohanim. The Tanakh says he was punished for not listening to Shaul, Shmuel rather, and not waiting for 7 days, for not killing all the Amalekites, punished for not, and for asking about the Balat Ov. He brings up Shmuel's ghost. All those things are specifically listed. This is not listed in Tanakh as being a sin of Shaul. And the punishment comes when you made David. I have to figure out what's going on here. I'm going to stop here. There's some more things to do. Next week is Tisha B'Av. We won't learn. And the week after that, might be better off doing it in the morning. I'll just see what my time is. Morning work out better?
Either way is good for me.
I prefer the morning, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the morning but either way. Better in general.
Whatever works for you, Danny.
Well, we have to get everybody else here, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop here.